Talking Tesla.
I'm not sure if like my foot should be on the brake or the accelerator.
Because they put rings on Elon.
It must be some sort of geometrical algorithm.
Are you ready now?
Oh, I'm sure this is math.
Tom? Robert?
Yeah.
Well, all right, fellas. Well, let's go!
How am I expected to drive a car without autopilot?
So, here's the deal. You know, I'm not a good Parker Tom.
Yeah.
I'll be the first to admit it. Yeah. I just think that this is a car company that is run by super geeks. All the other cars are going to be stupid cars compared to this car. Tesla.
You don't even have
Tesla.
Yep, I remember that. You've got a Model X. I've seen the future, and it is light pole charging.
No, I wouldn't call it a screw-up. Do you like your Model X?
God, it's beautiful.
Is it started?
Have we started?
Starting.
So are we there yet? Told during this recording of this show that there would be no math. However, easy, simple numbers, not math. This is Talking Tesla 63.
They said we would never get past 62. That's what they said.
That's right. We look good for 63.
And 47 seconds. 47 seconds. That's the magic number. It's sort of like when you're running a race and you want to beat a certain time. Well, how did this thing start? With 30-minute segments? And then it went to like 40-minute segments.
30 minutes every other week.
Yes. And then it went to like maybe an hour, and Mel started bitching and complaining that
yes.
It was so long.
And
well, last week we were 47 seconds short of 2 hours.
So that's 1 hour, 59 minutes, 13 seconds.
I was told there
correct?
Would be no math.
Is that correct? Did I
that
get
was
that?
Very
did I nail
fast
that?
Math. So I'm so fired up. You know why?
You went to a
ready?
Tesla brunch?
Ready?
Let's
ready?
Go. Oh, Robert's taking off his sweater.
I have now gotten. You people are the luckiest
you
people in the world that there
no
is a radio
idea.
Show.
I have now.
Robert just took off a sweater that he had zipped all the way up to his neck. And underneath
right.
it, he is wearing a Tesla cycling jersey that can only be described as a medium. Because
a medium?
It doesn't quite fit him.
No,
it
this
fits
is a
for
large
a bike shirt.
This is
it
large.
Fits you, for, you look good in it. I'm sorry. I'm not trying to pick on you. It's just it's for the show. It's what we
where
call
the
in the
hell
business.
Did you get that?
Oh my God! Now he's unzipping
Tesla.
This.
I have to clip my mic on
the shtick.
So Tesla makes a cycling kit. It's called a kit. Let's be accurate about this. A cycling kit. It has a pair of bib shorts, right? The shorts that are tight bike mm-hmm. shorts that go with suspenders built in, and then this top that goes on top of it. I don't even see the
is
back.
It rechargeable?
No, it's not solar.
It does
it's not
have
rechargeable.
The little pocket on the back, but it's pretty little for a bike shirt pocket. I've
it's
seen some pretty big ones.
They're
for
supposed
your goo.
To be skin tight, right?
So. Yeah, it's skin tight.
How could we be right. 2 minutes into this thing and it already sucks? How is that? How is it possible?
But
you know,
just happens. So
this represents one of those things that I've been looking at and thinking about buying for probably like 2 years.
I thought for sure it was going to be a ludicrous mode t-shirt when I was not expecting this medium bike shirt.
No. Well, so I've been looking at this, thinking about it, thinking, uh-huh. Oh my God, I can't buy it. I can't quite justify it. Mm-hmm. It's a lot of money, back and forth, kind of like how I feel about buying a P100D ludicrous mode.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Which you haven't bought yet.
Which I haven't bought yet. Of course, this is two orders of magnitude less expensive.
Two orders? Insert chicken noise here, Mel. He hasn't bought the Tesla 100.
I didn't buy the chicken noise
pack. Because he's afraid.
Yeah, well, now I got chicken. This. I got this at the Tesla gift exchange.
Oh, what? So what's, somebody gave that to you?
This was from the club. Yeah, so the club met yesterday. We did Motor for Toys. I tweeted out a couple of pictures.
I saw your trunk full of toys for the for the children. Very nice. Very well
nice.
Done. Good work.
Yeah, we had like 15 cars there. There mm-hmm. was actually a veterans. Decked out veterans Tesla Model S. I don't know if you saw the pictures.
I
of
did.
That.
Yeah. No, I saw the whole thing. I yeah. follow your Twitter feed occasionally. It's very, very good. I was at home crying over my English Premier League team losing.
I'm sorry.
Terrible. That's
I
okay.
Was,
don't worry.
I was
about
excited.
It.
I was watching Tiger come back,
ooh,
swing the club
El
again.
El Tigre.
He was
a couple
looking
of double bogeys yesterday on some par fives.
It depends on how you look at it. Either it was terrible because
it wasn't
he finished
terrible.
With a 76, but he was swinging the ball club yeah. well. Does anybody care about this?
No,
nobody.
No one gives a crap.
Nobody
this is not a sports podcast.
No, it's not. I'm just telling you what I was doing when I got your Twitter, and I was going to rush over there, and I was like, oh, it was like an hour ago, and I figured you'd be gone off to the Tesla Motor Club's brunch, which was also yesterday.
It was actually really cool. So there was this Tesla that was all decked out in camo with a rack on the roof.
Nice rack.
With all kinds of military props in there, like helmets and boxes that would be ammunition. And it said Tesla.com/vets on it. And I had no idea this thing existed. And then I met Oscar, who was the Tesla engineer who had driven it down to Southern California. It's a dealer car. They've had it since 2013. And this is
so it doesn't even have autopilot.
It doesn't have. It's just like my car.
And mine.
Yeah. And so it doesn't need autopilot. I asked Oscar. And it turns out Tesla's had this vets program ever since like 2012, I think it was, where they're promoting veterans to come work for Tesla. They're looking for American veterans to come build American cars in America.
America.
That's cool. Good for Tesla.
Yeah, it's really cool.
Awesome.
That's great.
And it's since it's the season of giving.
Uh-oh.
Oh, my gosh. You're always with the giving.
Always with the gifts.
I have a big heart. That's for you guys. So here.
For you guys.
Thomasina.
This actually does say Thomasina on it.
And Melvis.
It says Melvis on it. Should we open it for the show? Now?
Absolutely.
All right. Okay. So this is a lovely green wrapped present.
Mine is in
present.
Beige with glitter.
It's got my name holiday.
On it. Thomasina. Little really, Thomasina. Usually only Mel is allowed to call me that, but apparently Robert's decided that.
And this
that's
is good
his,
audio as we open up the.
That's his gig as well.
This is the unwrapping.
Uh-oh.
And it's on. It's not on video.
It's a lovely black shirt. Oh, it's a Model 3 T-shirt.
Oh, hello. Snap!
Oh, thank you, Robert.
Whoa. Look at that. We're going to get a picture here.
Oh, beautiful. Look at that live tweeting photos.
Ladies and gentlemen, thank you, Robert. I've never had a present so lovely as that.
It's very nice.
And it's soft.
I feel like we should have brought him something. Got anything in your pocket?
They are American T-shirts, by the way, made in downtown Los Angeles.
I saw that. Trust me, first thing I looked at was brand. I have brand awareness, Robert.
That's awesome.
All right, so that's exciting. Good weekend. Talking Tesla, Tesla Motors Club LA brunch, Model 3 t-shirts. And Mel, what other updates can you give before we get into the
meaty, chunky bits of the show? Well, I wanted to say to the Patreon people, of which there are so many.
Oh, thank you.
Thank you for helping us out there. And you know, I've been working on Going Zero, and I'm trying to find the right style for it. And I did a sizzle reel or a sort of an introductory reel, and that's not the one I'm going to use, but I'm going to send it to the Patreon people as sort of an extra bonus piece of audio. It's kind of crap, and so I thought, you know, may as well give it to the Patreon people because they gave us some money knowing that, you know, that they should get some extra crap.
And now since you've given us money and we're going to give you some bonus content, you should let us know about the bonus content because since you're paying to listen to it, you might as well give us feedback. So you work for us, but you also pay us.
It's a beautiful thing. So
is that called crowdsourcing?
I don't know what it's called. It's called thank you very much is what it's called.
So I'm busy writing Going Zero and I'm trying to work out the style. And so I'm actually going to start.
That's the problem. You're writing it.
Yeah, that's maybe the problem. But you've got it because this is going to be sort of the explainers. And I can't do explainers off the top of my head. Have you seen me, Tom? I'm an idiot. It's not possible.
I've seen you. I've heard you. All of the things.
So I'm going to get busy with that. And I'm actually going to post a lot of the Going Zero here on Talking Tesla again just to get some feedback from people who actually know what they're talking about. We are going to take a break over the holidays. This is another one. I don't know when.
Are we really?
Yeah, because I'm going away to New Zealand. You got all the holiday things
going. You're going to New Zealand for like 8 hours. You're going to leave on Monday and you're back on Monday, which is weird. I don't know how that happens.
I'm leaving on the 1st and I get back the 7th. I'll be in New Zealand for 5 days, mate. Mm. 5 days.
The 1st of January.
1st of January.
That was by request of the New Zealand Sheep Authority.
Yes. Make sure he Please do not too stay long. Too long.
Yeah, you don't want to get him to be embedded.
And just a few other random things.
Okay.
Ready? I took Lyft yesterday.
That's funny because I installed the Lyft app in my phone yesterday.
Really?
Really?
Why did I take Lyft? I took Lyft because a friend of mine takes Lyft and she said, it's actually Jess you've heard on Talking Tesla. And she said she likes Lyft because it allows you to tip the drivers. And
it's
I
true.
Think that Uber is continually ramping down the amount of money they pay these poor drivers.
That is correct.
I thought it would be nice to use Lyft instead of Uber and give a tip. And I felt, you know what? Good about myself. I got a nice tip and I had a lovely driver. And here's the other interesting thing. This is totally off the side. I started to talk to the guy, like, how long have you been doing Lyft? And he goes, 2 days. But they have this system, this program that he's part of, which is he wasn't driving his car. He was driving a Lyft car. And he has to do 85 trips a month to break even, and then he starts making cash. But they pay for the insurance. They pay for the car. There's some expenses he has to pay for, but he says it's a new thing that they're doing where they actually own their own cars.
Well, and that's like the GM thing, right, with them. And it also
it feels a lot like a GM car.
Right, they had that deal with the GM, or yeah. GM was making it cars available to Lyft drivers under the lease situation. I don't know about that. It feels a lot like Lyft is a taxi company, right? Like, how different is it?
But it's not exactly. You know, Uber's a taxi company. It's just a better taxi company. And the other reason a lot of people like Lyft is that they have their drivers have to go through a bit more background checks.
Yeah.
So they say the probability of sort of the murdering rapist is substantially less.
But there's so many times you get an Uber and they have both stickers, right? They're Uber and Lyft drivers, right? So my guess is, since this was day two for this guy, he probably wasn't an Uber driver. I've been in an Uber on day one. I've had a day one Uber driver.
Yeah.
Has anybody had a day one ride?
Lost in Chicago. Oh, where are we going? Yeah, for sure.
That's so great. And I just want to say Mars, the TV show, last night was watching it again. There's been three episodes. It's on National Geographic, and I'm really liking it. This is the show where they're taking this group to Mars, and it's sort of there's a drama part, but then also they cut away and actually talk to experts about how things would work. Mm-hmm. I really like it. I suggest if you like Mars, and who doesn't like Mars, it's sitting up there, it's all red and people love it, that you should watch this show.
Wow, that is awesome. And then I have been remiss the last couple
of
weeks.
Yes, you have.
We've got the Twitter presence. Occasionally, I'll get on there and respond to the Twitter. But I've also, the last couple of weeks, put a couple polls up there and gotten some interesting feedback from the nation, as it were, the nation of the talking Teslas.
Give us some info.
So the one that I did the last week was, does the new admin make you worried about the future of renewables? Talking Tesla Nation overwhelmingly said yes. 71% of you said yes, they were worried about the future of renewables. This show may change your mind. No, 18%. Not sure, 11%. That's 169 voters. That's pretty good for us, 169 Twitter voters.
Wow, yeah. That's pretty good. And that's about the number of people that voted in the general election.
No, I don't think that. I think that's an incorrect number. That may be the difference in Michigan. But that's an aside. And then the next one I thought was even more interesting. What vehicle do you want Tesla to make next? And I gave you some options: pickup, small SUV, and van. 128 of you voted. The pickup, 26%. The SUV, 56%. The van, 18%. So
interesting.
You people want a small SUV. Mel, do you want it to have F-ing Falcon wing door?
Oh, I so want the Model Y. I want to have that form factor. And if they put Falcon wing doors, I'm going to be Falcon annoyed.
You will lose your shit ton, as it were.
Exactly. I will lose it. But since you're talking about Model X and Falcon wing doors, let's go to Teslarati. This was posted by Gene. We love those guys. And it is pictures of the 5-seat version of the Model X, which is now available. So it has an option for folding. And when you fold those middle row, guess what happens? You magically become the SUV with the most cargo space on the planet, this one or on Mars. 88 cubic feet.
Was this Gene's car that we saw photos
no,
of?
No, I don't think so. It was just some dude's car with pictures of it. So you now have a massive amount of room if you get the 5-seat folding version. And also the hidden compartment, which is one of my favorite parts of the X.
I don't have
S.
that on my car, on the S, because I have the rear seats.
You have
in
the
there.
Stupid rear seats. Which,
hey, whoa, stupid rear seats? They're rear seats. They're not stupid or smart. They're just seats.
So in the X, this secret compartment is now twice as big.
What?
You could put some bodies in there, Thomas.
There's a lot of space.
Yeah, you'd have to, because you only have 5 seats.
I crawled all through my friend's 5-seater he just picked up on Sunday. There's not only the deep space. So I've got a picture I'm showing to the boys. Mm-hmm. There's not only that deep space that goes underneath the trunk area, mm-hmm. which is like where you would put the footwell in a Model S for kids in the back seat. There's a second underspace. And then on top of that is the big open space where you have the 60-40 split seats. And I actually made a video of the whole thing. I'll put it up.
Yeah,
it's pretty impressive.
People keep saying, you say you're going to put it up, but it's not up. So we need to put these up.
I can't put it on Twitter. They won't let me. So we need to do
something
on
the site.
Why won't they
let
you?
We need it on the site.
Twitter? I don't know. It
they
doesn't
do video.
No, maybe my videos are too bad, too and they big. Have a bot that looks at it.
You can send it to me, and I can see if I can post it.
We will post this somewhere, but it should be on the site, so let's at least post it on our
and
site.
And I took pictures of all the cameras around the car, which is really kind of exciting for me.
This is a brand new one, so it's
this
got all the cameras?
This just picked up Sunday. Here's the little side camera. So if you're on the driver's door, just behind it on the pillar, there's a little forward-looking camera there.
Yeah.
If you look on the side badge, the one where you have a little orange turn signal, it's just above and behind the front steer wheel. There's a forward, a backwards looking camera.
Why don't I get my shit together? This is the first time I've seen any of these. Yes. It's amazing.
And then
for a radio show too. Man.
Yeah.
It's exciting.
And this is the behind the mirror where it attaches to the glass. There's this very large open area, and there's three cameras in there that I really can't see them all, but I believe Elon, they're there.
Wow. So this is the first one, and we're waiting for the software update that'll actually turn on these cameras to give it the first level of autonomy, which is what people have right now, the TAC-1. And they're supposed to turn it on with the new software update. And I say that because I just got a message on my phone about 10 minutes ago that the X, which is sitting out there on all lovely with its falcon wing doors, just had a software upgrade last night. And I'm wondering, what was it? Is it just a minor upgrade before the big upgrade? Probably. You know how they do that? They push out the little few tweaks and bobs, and they do that at like three times, and you make you think you got a version 8.1, but 8.1 comes later. So that's very exciting, Robert. Excellent. I want to talk about Toyota and EVs. Do you mind if I do that?
Please.
Toyota is a manufacturer of cars.
Wait, hold on a second. They do what?
They make cars.
I've never heard of them.
They're the largest car manufacturer in the world, Tom.
Really?
Yeah.
Interesting. Any models that I may have heard of?
All of them.
Oh, okay.
And I've got to say, you know, I've had Australian-built cars, American-built cars, I've had Toyotas, I've had Hondas. I've got to say that Toyota is really good at building cars of a fine quality.
When you were 18, did you have the Wallaby? Is that the Australian-built car that you own?
I had the Australian Dingo, and it takes your baby.
It runs on babies.
And anyway, they said, look, we're going to get busy, and we've sort of talked a little bit about this in the past, but they have led, you know, they led the way with the Prius, but then they really weren't getting into EVs at all, and then they did sort of plug in your Prius that goes that Robert has like 3 feet, and then it turns back to gas.
Yeah,
and that
they said 15 miles, it's like really 10.
And so the Akito Toyota is the grandson of the guy that started Toyota, and it's T-O-Y-A-D-A is how you actually pronounce, spell their name.
But they didn't do it that. They didn't put that on the cars because in America, we'd be saying Toyota.
Toyota.
So I think that's why.
Toyota.
He is the president, and a couple of their senior executives are going to be on the push for electric cars. So the hope that this is a real push, the report we had a few weeks ago is they're going to do electric stuff, but basically just increase the range of their plug-ins by 15%. This makes it sound like they're actually going to go all in and start creating electric vehicles. And I'm excited about that because nobody can make cars faster than Toyota.
That's true. If they get in the business in a serious way and they drop a 200 miler on us, the nice thing about Toyota, they can drop that bad boy everywhere.
They break wind in 200,000 cars coming out the back passage.
That just happened.
Which is nice because, you know, they've been so effing committed to this Mirai. I sent out a tweet last week. I was driving just in West Los Angeles and all of a sudden there was this odd looking Toyota in front of me and bam, that was a hydrogen fuel cell Mirai.
Did you pull that guy over and tap him on his back and be like, it's okay, buddy. You're going to be fine when they get rid of this car in 3 months.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I don't know if they're actually selling it, leasing it. I'm not really clear right now.
They were selling it initially. I don't know what they're doing now, but they're not moving forward with it, I don't believe.
Right. So then I looked up, there was an article, and I put that in my tweet as well, where Toyota was now backing off and using the Mirai and adding some batteries to it so that it could be a plug-in fuel cell vehicle.
Nothing's better than batteries and hydrogen together.
Well, you know, it's probably all about losing face and not wanting to lose face that they have invested God knows how much money.
But it's not their fault. It's the CARB's fault because they made those credits more valuable and Toyota sells a lot of big trucks. That's why they moved to it.
Who lobbied CARB?
I don't know.
Them.
All right.
The fuel companies.
Well, because they wanted more credits.
So, and ladies and gentlemen, for those of you who don't know, we're talking about a hydrogen car here, which Toyota created because there was this thing in California and actually the idea of
to replace the RAV4 EV.
Yeah, and we are very down on it because, first of all, there is no hydrogen infrastructure yet here in California, and we have more hydrogen infrastructure than anywhere. And that hydrogen comes from oil and gas. And so it's not at all clean. It's clean at the tailpipe, but it's not at all clean when they create it. So it's just a bit of a farce, and we don't like hydrogen vehicles right now. I don't know if we ever will.
I love it when you use the word farce.
Farce. It's Australian for farce.
I also love your American accent, like almost more than any of your other ones, to be honest with you.
Yeah, whenever I do an American accent, my wife says it turns into nothing. Like, you can't do it. You've lived here for 25 years and you still have, you're an idiot. Hey, the Leaf 2017, since we're talking about cars, we can talk about cars.
Well, all we do is talk about cars, really.
Well, we talk about a lot of other stuff as well. It's been 6 years since the Leaf was first released, and I got to tell you, I was on the waiting list and I was so excited, and I got my Leaf and I used it for 3 years. It was the best ever. It's still the highest selling EV in history, but its sales are slowing down substantially. And it hasn't had a big design change since it was released. Currently, in its current version, there's a 30 kilowatt hour version, which gets about 107 miles. 6 hours to a full charge, because it's only got a 6.6 kilowatt charger on it. At the high end, the Leaf, which I just told you about, is about $37,500. And supposedly, there's a second generation Leaf expected maybe at the end of this year.
Mm-hmm.
And we are hoping that it will get 200 miles. And I love the Leaf. I think the Leaf is a great car. It's wonderful.
Mm-hmm.
But the problem is it hasn't changed. The range really hasn't gone up. And
that's
now a 100-mile Leaf, any EV with 100 miles, just
the range has gone up.
A little tiny bit.
It's relatively inexpensive to get into a Leaf. The 30-kilowatt battery is all standard on all of them now, all three of the trim level. So you don't necessarily have to get the SL. You can... The SL has the faster charger, which you can get as an option on the S. So you can get into it.
It's also got that cool 360-degree camera view setup.
So it's got some good things. Again, if it fits what you need it to fit, it's a good car for you. It's a better car used, to be honest with you, because, they got no resale.
But let me just say again, I love the Leaf. Drove it for 3 years. Wonderful car. But now, in 2016, going into 2017, a 100-mile EV... sounds completely inadequate. 6 years ago when I first had it, if you had told me my Leaf would go 107 miles, I'd be like, that's amazing. Now I'm like, that's not good.
But as of right now, on the market, it is the longest range car besides the Teslas.
Bolts out.
It's not on the market.
Tesla's out.
It is.
It's actually at Keys down the road. They are actually coming off.
Because I sent them an email over the weekend, and they were not like, come on in, we got a bunch of them. That was not the response I got.
I played Tom yesterday. I was sitting with the computer, and I was chatting with a sales representative from Bunnin Chevrolet.
I was doing the same with Keys yesterday.
Yeah. So I was saying, they're like, oh, when would you like to get into this car? I said, right now. I've got insurance money. I just made this up, but I was using your example.
Liar.
And I said, I've got insurance company money. I'm ready to come down, buy the car right now. Oh, we'll get your email and we'll have somebody get back to you. And so that tells me that there's nothing available. But really? Down the road?
Oh, it was Chris Navarro. Maybe I misunderstood him. He was somebody that works for the company. Said that he called the Keys Chevrolet here in Van Nuys or Northridge, and they said that they've actually got them on the lot and they've sold seven of them or something like that.
Why isn't Tom down there buying one?
So what may be the situation is, like, they had, from what I understood, they had half of their allotment already accounted for, so they may be going through that list, right? They may have gotten them and be sending them out. But when I called and said, hey, I'd like to come, I can read the email to you, I would like to come and test drive the thing, they were like, well, we'd love to show you what our inventory of all cars that we have. There was no, like, we've got three Bolts on the lot, come try one.
Well, I called another place down the road in Thousand Oaks where there's a big auto thing, Chevy, last week and said, do you have any in stock? Can I come down and check it out? And they said, we are expecting a large number of them soon. So they didn't have any. Anyway, so the point is that the Leaf, it's great, it's wonderful, but Leaf 2.0 better have 200 plus miles range, or I just think it's dead. It's going to be dead, because now with the Model S's coming down and down and down in price, and the Bolt, just a 100-mile EV is just not going to get it done.
Yeah, it's going to be more and more difficult for those cars unless, again, they can sell enough of them, make enough of them that they're actually making money on them, can reduce the cost of them. And then it democratizes it again for people who only have to drive 100 yards.
And what you said about the secondhand Leaf is it's both good and bad. So it's so true. You can get a secondhand Leaf cheap as chips, Tom.
Under $7,000 if you want to right now. For probably like a 2013 S model with under 50,000 miles, you could probably find one or several for $8,000. If you want the SLs, they're going to run you, so like a 2013 SL, which is top of the line leather seats. That's the car I've been looking for, but they're only like available in silver and red and blue. And I'm looking for a white one. It's like the unicorn, and I wanted a certified pre-owned. Very difficult, but those cars are available all over. There's Duarte, Anaheim, $14,000.
So I'm having deja vu here.
Oh, all over again?
How many shows have we gone through?
All of them.
Since Tom told us
what
the F he's doing and going to get him out of an ice car, right, please.
But then the bolt continues to be close to coming. And
but it's down the street?
It's like it is. Carrot. Is it? I don't. Is it? It's not proven that it's down the street.
Let's go.
We should call on the show at the end. We'll call the local Chevy dealer and we'll see.
It's going to be like
Because I like
Floyd.
To drive it, although, again, it not being able to find the exact Leaf that I want has been really the thing that has kept it from
happening. How about we just wrap it? You know, you don't want the right color.
Just put talking Tesla
wrap on it. Yeah, you could probably get a subsidy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I got $10 in my pocket.
That's not going to wrap.
It's like $2,000 to wrap a car.
No.
Mister, I'm not flying first class to New Zealand.
No, I'm not flying coach to New Zealand.
Exactly.
Why? You burn just as much carbon either way.
Oh,
that's true. Actually, I always buy the carbon offsets. I don't know what they do with those.
Oh, touche, Robert.
I hope they do something with that. They probably don't.
They probably burn it up.
They're like, carbon offsets. I'm going to go buy some whale oil for my lamp.
It's renewable.
Yeah. Hey, Model S beats the range gauge. So Autoblog, and this is by Danny King, has this little article. We did one of these really early on in the program where this dude had his car, and he drives it to zero, and he's like,
his car.
I wonder how far I could drive past zero, mate. And he did about 20 miles. Well, this is a Danish owner of a Model S 85D, and he posted a video online, and he takes his car to zero, and then he keeps going for 22 kilometers, about 14 miles, but he does it very slowly.
Does he do it slowly because the car made him do it slowly? Like
He made it sound like that the car just slowed down, but it wasn't clear whether slowed down or the
or
car slowed down.
He may have just been trying to maximize his range.
He had to get to that charger. But there's another guy that's got some actor called Robert, whatever his name
Llewellyn,
who did the same thing with his Leaf. He drove it past zero. So it appears to be that the gauge on these electric cars, much like the gas tank on your car, gets to zero, but there's a little bit extra in there. I don't suggest you push it. And personally, people ask Mel, well, why don't you do it? I'm like, because I'm afraid. Even if I'm half a mile from my house when it actually stops, how the hell am I going to get the car back here?
Well, you have it towed. You have a flatbed. I'm willing to do it in controlled conditions and close to home, but I am curious what will the AAA driver say when he shows up to put it on the flatbed? Or do we do it and then call that? There's like that Tesla mobile charging where like they can kind of come and give you a few miles of juice. Is that not correct?
It's true. They do give you one episode of coming out and rescuing you if you go to a total dead battery. But number one, number two, Tesla does not recommend this because it can overly stress the battery and the charging system. And if you do it repeatedly, I think you might actually void your warranty.
What if you just do it once and you do it in Mel's car?
Your car.
Since it's leased. Yeah.
It's a lease.
And really this, you know, I look out at Tesla Nation and I see a bunch of guys and some gals, and we're all very responsible, environmentally conscious. I guess I shouldn't speak for everybody. Nerdish, scientist kind of types. And, you know, it's hard to tell among this group who really has the big balls. But
not me.
The few people that I've talked to who have taken their Teslas on like extended trips way away from superchargers or when there were no superchargers and ran their cars down to like negative 10 and negative 15 miles, those are the people I truly respect.
Really?
Really.
Not us.
Me
not
too.
Us. He doesn't respect us. Since it's been done, is it really important for us to do it?
Not anymore. No, you're right.
So there's a guy I put down here who went like, it was a year ago maybe, in Florida. He drove his Model S 423.5 miles. This is not a 90, nor a D. I think it was an 85. Maybe it was a D. I can't remember, but it's on the Tesla website. We can throw it in there. But he did it basically at 26 miles an hour for the entire time. It was like a, I don't know, 14-hour drive.
He went with his son. Behind him.
It was in Florida. It was all flat. Even it was like Florida. A standard route they went. It was around some large, I think, like maybe a national park or something like that. And they just drove and drove and drove. And he had it all planned out. Right time of year. It was cooler, so there wasn't as much air resistance from the humidity. It was an interesting article to read. And yes, it's been done. I don't have to do it.
All right.
What is the do we know the perfect speed? Let's assume it's not a very hot day, not really a cold day. What is the speed by which you get theoretically the most range? On the Tesla website, they have the little graph.
111.
It's like a 30 miles an hour or something like that?
I think it's 111.
I think it's like around 26 miles an hour.
26 miles an hour.
26 miles an hour, apparently.
I think it is because I actually went with Julian, took him to like a bike race. And we'd pick up a friend. We didn't expect to do that. On the way back, we had to drop off their friend. It turns out that we went like beyond zero on the car. Mm-hmm. And on the way home, driving through West Los Angeles, I think we did like 4 or 5 miles on zero. And I was just, and I can tell you, man, 26 miles an hour anywhere is really,
really
slow.
And in Florida.
People are like
if people
blasting
are
past
you.
In
Florida, it's like,
scary. Let's talk about the Bolt. Now, we talked a little bit about this last time, Autoblog, which says that they're losing money on the Bolt, not just a little bit, way more than I thought. So it's not uncommon for early cars to lose a bit of money as they ramp up the tech. And we talked about how the Volt didn't make money for like 6 years, the Volt with a V.
Right, but... but you're saying they said that. This is Bloomberg citing an anonymous source saying they might lose $9,000 per vehicle, right? So this isn't Chevy being like, we're losing $9,000 per vehicle. This is a source.
Chevy's not going to say that. So all I wanted to bring up with this is that if this is true, if Chevy's losing a lot of money and this is just a compliance car and they can't make money on this, then they are not going to want to ramp up production. They will do the minimum amount required. And I don't like that. So we've got to get the production of these electric cars to the point where they're profitable or manufacturers are never going to make them. The head of Ford said the same thing. Everybody's saying, oh, electric cars. But unless we can make money on them and unless people buy them, we're not going to make a whole bunch of them. And he went on to say that people don't want these cars. We've proven you've got all these incentives and they're still only a tiny fraction of the market. But I say to him and other people, if you make an electric car that's good and wonderful and nice, like the Model 3, you'll have 400,000 or 500,000 people put $1,000 down because there is a huge desire for these cars. But the problem is, like the Leaf and other ones, a 100-mile range Leaf is not going to get it done. But a 200-mile car that's nice and sexy, you'll sell all of them. But I want them to make money off these things.
Yeah, they need to make money. So if this number is true and the 30,000 unit number is true, that's $270 million.
That's a lot of millions. So I put in here about the Detroit News story, which I think is probably where a lot of these people are getting their details. So Detroit News, very car-centric, very ICE car-centric, talks about how the power of California. 1 in 8 cars sold in the United States are sold in California.
Whoop, whoop. We win.
That's pretty impressive. We're not that big of a territory. And that the reason that all of these companies are going down this road with hybrids and plug-ins and electric vehicles is because they want to keep selling their cars in California.
Yeah, because we're making them.
He also noted that LA and Bakersfield are two of the most smog and particulate-laden cities in the United States. We know that.
And a friend of mine who grew up in the Central Valley, and I didn't know this, and I haven't done any research, but it makes a little bit of sense.
This is probably not true. Go on.
No, it could be. Is that the LA smog and like the Bay Area smog kind of get up, they go over the Central Valley, and they just
drop
down. And the Central Valley, which has less people, always has really, really bad pollution, and it's not all based on farming. So that's not very cool for those people. And for our food supply, which is, you know, what happens in the Central Valley.
So you should wash your fruits and vegetables.
I would recommend that.
So yeah. By 2025, the zero emission vehicles should meet in California to grow to over 15% of the cars, which Woo-hoo. Is like 5 times more than now. So this is what all of these major manufacturers are staring down. And even though the new administration might have power over sort of federal regulations. Governor Brown, who still has 2 years in office, has been steadfast in saying that he is not backing down on emissions requirements, so that if all of these companies want to sell cars in California, they're going to have to keep moving forward. So high five to Governor Brown. They talked about how the Fiat 500Es are losing like $14,000 per car.
Holy crap.
Nissan Leafs at $149 leases have to certainly be losing money.
And that's the S. So that 149 is for the S trim. The SL trim goes up to around 329.
Right.
And the weird thing is that there are very, very low-end lease values, which we talked about at the end of those leases. So those cars will come off lease and probably instantly be valued at under $14,000.
Which is great. And I think people should look into buying them and even maybe taking them out of state. If you can't find these cars in the non-carb states,
yeah,
come to California, have a little vacation, mm-hmm, say hey to us in Cuckoo Tesla, go to Disneyland, pick up a Leaf, go back home.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe you have to truck it home because it won't make it all the way. And so then he also went ahead and did more math, like GM, basic details. Headache. In 2015, they sold 219,000 cars, a little more. And they wanted
California.
In California. And so to avoid the fines and the threats of being shut out of the market in California, they needed enough ZEV credits for they needed 30,000, well, about 31,000 ZEV credits, which meant that they had to sell a lot of Volts and Bolts. And again, this is why I think they're willing to take a $10,000 loss on every one of those cars so they can keep selling their big, smoky pickup trucks.
But that means they got to be making a $20,000 profit on those other cars, right? They're big profit centers for sure. We get that. And I agree. It says 7,000, around 7,100 volts, because they get 4 credits each because of the size of their battery range, or 10,000 volts they would need to sell to get those credits. Mm-hmm. I don't think 7,000 volts will be a problem
They'll
to get rid of in California.
Week. But this all concerns me that these manufacturers are only doing this because of credits and because of regulations,
that
and they're losing. It scares me. I don't like it. And I assume that the Model 3 will make money, and it will make money because simply the cost of these cars over and above a normal car must just be the battery. And so will only Tesla be able to make enough batteries at a price that it can make money? That would be bad, bad.
Unless they build 4, 5, 6 more gigafactories, and Ford buys their batteries from Tesla and GM buys their batteries from Tesla. And
they won't be able to keep up. They're going to have 100 more gigafactories. Yeah. But it makes me a bit anxious because...
Well, it's always expensive early on though, right?
Yeah, and it gets better over time. But mm-hmm, this is where, you know, who's in and pushing your federal regulations. Again, this is because we don't count the cost of pollution. And again, we talk a lot about carbon dioxide pollution. We don't count the cost of that and global warming. But it's more than that. We don't count the cost of the mercury and all the other crap that goes into the Central Valley, that goes into the food that gives us cancer, that we don't count the cost. If we counted the cost of the pollution, then... you would sell ICE cars for much, much more than you sell them for now. But we don't, because we don't think pollution costs us anything, and we are wrong. Let's talk about Mercedes' new brand of EVs. This is from Jalopnik. And you can't do that, right?
That's not a thing, no.
No. So they're going to sub-brand their electric vehicles as the EQ line. Starting in 2019, they're going to come out with a new version every year. And that's not that long from today. It's only a year and a bit, right? And so the head of marketing said, imagine one day, this is funny to me, imagine one day, let's say the latest 2025, which is a long way off, you might be able to get a new EQ S-Class coming around the corner, and you've called it through your EQ app, and the car will be picking you up, driving you autonomously in the garage, and then picking up the next person. And we're talking about car sharing here, fewer cars on the road, really eco-friendly, very convenient. You don't have to call Uber, you just call your EQ, and I'm thinking, that will put you about 7 years behind Tesla.
I think he may have actually listened to the show, or potentially one of Elon's presentations, because it sounds very familiar.
It looks like he cut and pasted from Elon's talk.
Very, very
And then
familiar.
Pretended like, we're doing something amazing and radical here. What are you talking about? Okay, good. Make electric cars.
Yeah.
Make a profit on them.
Yeah.
And that's good. But
they're investing big.
They are.
So we
got to
give
large.
Them that. They're what? Go ahead there, Roberto.
I just love this quote. So car to go is their sort of car sharing moniker. And it says, in quotes, with car to go, we are one of the pioneers, if not the pioneer. And I thought, really? Is marijuana legal in Germany too?
I believe it is.
Okay, well, that's why.
But I don't know. And we have an article that sort of piggybacks on this from Fred Lambert at...
Oh, my God!
Ah.
Thanks,
and
Fred.
Mercedes, as part of this thing about putting out a new... And when they say putting out a new brand every year, they're talking about an electrified version of one of their models each year, which is very interesting. So they're making an $11 billion investment. As Mel said, the new brand is going to be called EQ. So you'll have like a 350 EQ class, is my guess, is kind of how that works. It hopes to come out on top by 2025 with 25% of its production being electric, which is amazing, with 10 cars based on the same architecture within that time frame. So big investment, big vision for a lot of cars in a short amount of time. If you really think about 2025 and 10 models, three models will be smart branded. And they're saying that with improvements and larger batteries, some of those smart cars could have a 700 kilometer range.
It's like 400 miles.
I don't know. That would have been math.
That's about
right. That's a lot.
Yeah. That's
a
small, lot.
Like,
it's
a lot. Right?
It's all.
But those are those smart cars. And then VW, on top of that, has plans to build 2 to 3 million all-electric cars a year and to unveil 30 new models by 2025. And I get it. Their plans. They're like, oh, whoa, we better make some announcements about some plans.
Lots of announcements, but not so many cars.
But they have investors, right? So, like, They really can't be doing things like this if they don't believe they're going to at least effort it, right, Robert?
I'm just thinking, because this sounds like vapor. I'm looking back at, we talked about Wire Magazine came out in October 18th this year, talking about the German auto industry is finally, in parentheses maybe, done with gas. And they talked about the Bundestag, which is sort of their House of Representatives there. And they had voted to ban all diesel and gasoline cars by 2030. I think Mercedes is a little bit off the mark on this, don't you?
Because they're only going to do some of their cars, but that's but maybe they'll have, those cars will be the ones sold in Germany and the rest of the world isn't ready
coming to
for
us.
Them.
All the gas cars are coming here.
Oh, they're coming here. Not to California, though.
Yeah, no,
but you know what? Let's take a wait-and-see attitude on Mercedes. Again, a big investment by them, a big investment by Volkswagen. Feels like Toyota's now sort of semi on board, although they didn't announce an investment. So we're getting there. It, like, the ship is moving kind of slowly out of the port. It's a big ship. It's like
a diesel
mega
ship.
Cruise ship. And it doesn't just turn on a dime. It turns on a large sea.
As I was driving around Los Angeles in the last few days and looking at the smog cloud, which is much better than it was in the 80s, and that's a whole other story, how the car manufacturers back then were bitching about putting in catalytic converters and how they couldn't possibly do it, and now they did, and it's much better now than it was. But imagine if this happens, if all of these electric cars come to California, come to big cities, and all that smog goes away, and all of the health problems go away from that smog. It's a beautiful future. And then I see people arguing about why it's all crap and we just need to burn fossil fuels. And Robert sent us a picture of this giant SUV that had the plate said fossil fuels. Like, yay, we love burning fossil fuels. Why do you love burning? Tell me what is good about burning them from any point of view. It's ridiculous. They're dirty. I love fossil fuels. I'm talking to you, fossil fuels. Thank you. You basically created the Western world and all of the wealth that we have. You did great. But we have to move on. I love you a long time, but we've got to move on.
You snuck it in. You talked to fossil fuels.
I got to talk to fossil fuels. All right. Since we're talking about cars, can we talk about Apple?
Can we?
Yeah.
Apple doesn't make cars. They make phones, Mel.
Phones?
Well, actually, the BBC says there's this letter, and I didn't find the original letter. I got to tell you, I didn't look too hard because I was very sleepy last night.
And this BBC article had no attribution whatsoever. Also,
I thought it was pretty
unhelpful. But they said Apple sent, and the BBC is usually pretty good, pretty accurate.
But I think talking Tesla needs to bring not only bad news, but also good news. So here's the bad news. Let's go.
Could be fake news. So this is a letter to the U.S. transportation regulators saying that they're excited about electric vehicles. Autonomous vehicles. And it is invested heavily and wanted to help define the best practices and make sure there's not too many rules around testing autonomous vehicles and proposing that all of the companies that are making autonomous vehicles share data. All this to say is that Apple – appears to be working on at least the technology behind autonomous vehicles. Is that what this letter means?
I think that's what it does mean. It doesn't really say anything about cars. It's just about we're working on this autonomous aspect of vehicles. And it makes sense for Apple to maybe make a plug-in module and a little bit of hardware or sell that hardware to other companies who maybe aren't able to invest in that future or don't have the engineering know-how and all the brain power that they have at Apple. So it's kind of interesting. It doesn't mean Apple's building a car, but it does mean Apple wants to be at the table of autonomy. The table, the autonomous table, as it were.
So this is the first, if true, the first time that Apple has officially said, yes, we are working on this tech, because it's all been cloak and dagger and we don't know. And then there were layoffs and people said they just folded it up. This makes it sound like they are still going and that it exists.
Yeah.
And I'm pretty sure it's going to be in the iPhone 9. It'll just be clip on, you'll just put it on the roof, and it'll have all the sensors you need and the software, and it'll just drive your car for you. Pretty sure.
Yeah, that's not
iPhone 9.
And I'm happy that Apple is actually getting involved in this, and it's not just a Google thing. Google out there trying to do autonomous and Tesla out there trying to do autonomous, because I think Apple's big enough to be a good counter to whatever Google's doing and give some options, and we'll get some competition in the marketplace, and maybe they'll come up with some better ideas. We both know they're going to have a better UI than Google.
Yeah.
I like it tickled me to see that they wanted to have like people sharing data. Isn't this the same company that told the FBI that they would not crack iPhones? So I'm wondering where they lay on this sort of thing.
Well, they want to share the crash data. They want to share the learning data so that the progress is made faster to autonomy, because the faster it moves, the easier it's going to be able to be put in all of the 300 million cars in America and the billion cars made in the world.
Or have they identified their weak spot in that they have nothing on the road and they have no real world data, and they want to suck Tesla's real world data?
Yeah.
And I wonder, it'll be a good test to see if, you know, Elon's open sources a lot of the stuff. It would be cool if all of the data that they're capturing, it gets sent to other smart engineers that are doing simulations in the Apple lab, that are doing simulations in the Google lab. That could really move it along. But we'll see if they're really committed to open source. Because right now, the people with the most autonomous or semi-autonomous driving miles is Tesla by far. Way more than Google by a factor of, you know, 100. They've put on hundreds of millions of miles.
Like two orders of magnitude.
There you go. Hundreds of millions of miles, whereas Google is doing it much, much slower than that. But anyway, let's talk about Elon. Do you want to talk about Elon? Have you heard about this guy?
Please,
there's this guy.
Let's talk about Elon.
There's this billionaire. He's named Elon Musk. He's got some big ideas. He's doing some stuff. Tesla, right here, says, you know, they are 700 tech company founders. Who do you think is the biggest, bestest tech company dude in the whole wide world?
Teslarati didn't ask, just for the record. This was a poll by First Round Capital of 700 tech company founders.
And they said, these 700 tech company founders, 23% of them said Elon Musk is the most admired.
Mm-hmm.
Next would be Bezos at 10%.
Mm-hmm.
And then next would be the Zuckerberg at 6%.
And Steve Jobs was at 5%. So this is where I start to wonder.
He's not with us anymore.
I understand that, Mel. Okay. I've been reading the papers, as it were.
Uh-huh.
But Zuckerberg, more influential, more admired than Steve Jobs.
Maybe because he gave $1 billion. Where was to Gates? UCSF.
Thank you. Where was Bill Gates?
Maybe they talked about people that are here right now. Maybe people assumed you're talking about leaders that are here right now.
But you could have been talking about, well, Bill Gates is a leader, just for the record.
He's not really in tech anymore.
700
he's more
tech
money
company
away.
Founders, and 6% of them were like, yeah, Zuckerberg is one I admire. And why? Because Zuckerberg has the largest piles of cash.
I was just excited. You can look on the downsides, Tom, but I was excited that Elon won.
You're talking about biases.
I'm just curious, because they didn't take any metrics, right? They didn't ask them why when they did this poll. They just asked them who they thought that they admired the most, right? And as far as visionary goes, of course it's got to be Elon in a landslide. And, you know, I don't know, if you had your options right now and you had to decide, I don't want what Zuckerberg has done on this planet, or I don't need what Steve Jobs has done on this planet, which one of those two things do you pick?
1.5 billion people really like Facebook, apparently.
Right, because 1.5 billion people really love cat videos, and I'm one of them. I love the cat videos, but with
I don't know how you turn this beautiful story about his buddies and friends like Elon into I hate Zuckerberg
it's
thing.
About,
no, it's not about Zuckerberg. It's about Elon.
I was just questioning the metrics of the poll because they picked Zuckerberg over Jobs. They made the right choice by picking Elon because it's clear that he's much more of a person to be admired than Jeff Bezos, who's done some amazing things to retail, but a lot of retail people would say Bezos has done a lot of negative things towards retail.
Are you done?
Yeah.
Why do you
I can't have
Facebook?
My own point of view? Should I just leave? Oh, yes, Mel, I agree with this article 100%.
Thank you.
I think it's amazing.
Thank you.
I don't need any metrics whatsoever.
Thank you. The sooner we all agree on everything,
no,
the better.
The meatier this show will be.
Tom. They say you're the smart one, but I really am beginning to doubt it.
It's because I'm critically thinking about these things.
I just want to know, where was Kurzweil on this?
Who's Kurzweil?
He's a guy who's also a visionary.
Oh, my gosh.
He was like, you know,
it's a
voice recognition is all from him.
Yeah, exactly.
Come on. Let's talk about clean energy. Look, I'm all about the clean energy, and I'm a bit anxious about Trump's plans for energy, but, you know, China
plans?
Just... Plans?
What plans?
He has exactly. plans for energy.
Never mind.
Not clean energy, but plans for energy.
Well, China just made this big statement. In Inhabit.com, mm-hmm. they say that China is about to invest $174 billion in clean energy in the next 4 years.
Million? Mm-hmm. Million?
Billion.
Billion with a B.
Billion?
So in hydroelectric and wind projects, and they're moving away from coal, and they signed the Paris Agreement, and they even sent a note to Donald saying, we don't believe that climate change is a hoax. This is China, for goodness sake.
Yeah.
And somebody that wants to burn the crap out of fossil fuels to develop their economies. Even they're saying, we have a problem. We need to move away from this.
Now, let's say, like, maybe they don't want to. Clearly, China doesn't want to. They don't have an option. They got a lot of people still without electricity, same as India.
A lot of people, right? Choking.
So they kind of have to at this point, unfortunately, because they got to get a lot online. So this is a big investment. China had already invested $37 billion in the first half of 2016, and the compares to the U.S.'s $23 billion in the first half of 2016.
Math.
So math. Big.
$33 billion, and which is 46% larger than the United States investment. That's a slap in the face.
Well, it's a bigger country. You realize that, right? They got 3.5 times more people.
Yeah, we have a bigger economy.
That's right. We're badass because of China.
And we use more energy per person.
We do, yeah. We're pretty inefficient in that sense. And the interesting thing is that China is discouraging this urban expansion from absorbing more farmland. They're implementing policies that encourage the building of solar and wind plants on sort of damaged land, whether they've already been like mined areas that are not being mined anymore. And the country of China, is building a solar generating plant in the Chernobyl exclusion zone.
Using robots?
Which I think is really interesting. They say it's safe
prisoners.
Enough for the workers to go and build the thing. I don't want to be those workers, to be honest with you. And China is today the largest solar country in the world with over 3 gigawatts of utility-scale solar power online, surpassing Germany with 132 utility-scale solar plants. Big country. So big moves for China. Good for them.
I wonder how long will it be? You know, so now you can go and tour as a tourist China, see things like the Great Wall.
Mm-hmm.
You can see the Imperial Palace.
Mm-hmm.
There's so many beautiful places in China. I've been there once.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I wonder how long will it be until there is an eco tour of China and you mm-hmm. can go see the massive dam project that they built and the ginormous solar farms.
Let's not call Three Gorges an environmentally positive progress.
It is big, though.
Yeah, it's big, but let's not say that was environmentally responsible.
It's responsible if you live in the big cities.
Yeah.
Not if you live in the Three Gorges.
They buried a lot of cultural assets underneath that lake.
You said the big giant vacuum. You know, again, I was driving around LA, saw a lot of sort of smog here, and we've been talking about it. And my wife has always said, you know, whenever she sees it, you come over a mountain here and you see this sort of layer over LA, you just want to get a vacuum cleaner out and just suck it all up. Well, it turns out somebody's actually working on such a thing. And so who was this? Was this the Danes? Where did this come from?
Konbini.
And they have this basically a giant industrial filter, which is about 8 meters long, made of steel, placed basically on top of buildings, and it works like a giant vacuum cleaner.
It was the Dutch, not the Danes. Damn, we're in trouble.
Oh, God, here we go. So it takes a large column of air, and it sends it through a filter.
It's probably Holland.
And it sucks out all the particulates, and I don't know if this is, you know, how big a difference this would make, but you see places like China and some of the images we get of how polluted they are, and they're down the road from their coal-fired power plants, and the air is so thick and so disgusting and so dirty, you do wonder whether a couple of these around your apartment building might clean up the air a little bit.
It's got a 1,000-foot radius of what the area that it can clean, which is not huge.
Yeah, let's just put it next to the coal-fired power plant.
Right, that's right.
And then we can run coal to run this device, and it'd be like a perpetual pollution
machine. Just put it on top. I bet you could probably hook up some sort of heat turbine and just blow it out. Again, it's
no, you run it with a solar panel.
It's what we have now. We're not going to stop burning coal in the next 20 years, so let's try to clean it as much as I understand that. But it's just not
going to happen. We're not going to. But we need to.
I understand we need to, but let's be realistic. So a study from Euractiv France linked over 400,000 deaths annually to pollutants in the air we breathe. I'm pretty sure that was a worldwide number.
Well, that's probably fewer people to vote. So it may serve someone's purpose.
You have to be realistic, Robert.
If I think this thing works, the pollutants kill people on all sides of the political spectrum.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. But a 1,000-foot radius isn't very big. I don't know if that's because this is a demo model. Like if you think you need one on – you could clean Manhattan – but could you clean Los Angeles like every 1,000 feet?
No way.
Like you need to have one of these machines on top of a roof.
So, Robert, your point is that we just need to stop burning it.
Reduce. Reuse, recycle, reduce.
I think the transitional energy here in the United States is gas. I mean, it is gas. We're moving to gas. We're fracking the crap out of things. Natural gas. It's much cleaner than coal.
Methane.
But let's be very clear. It is cleaner than coal and you don't have the particulates as much. But it is still quite dirty.
Dirty.
But we do have to transition because we are not ready with the batteries, with the backup, with the solar panels yet. So we're going to have to transition. But China has got to get off coal. My God. Goodness, and they realize and that's all of these
India.
Things they get at India. So it's very dirty. And I always think about it in terms of CO2, but it's all of these other particulates, these other things that are really killing people.
It's everything. And the mining of coal isn't necessarily the healthiest gig you could have in the world either. So,
and if you look at the glaciers, I don't know how much time you guys ever spend on glaciers.
But yeah, I'm on glaciers all the time.
If you go look at the pictures of glaciers, they all have this soot layer on top of them, which contributes to their melting at an enormous rate, far faster than the 2 degrees centigrade heating up of the planet. So throughout the planet, it's this fine particulate matter that also comes from your lawn blowers, right? These guys who are out there, I don't want to tell anybody how to do their job, but in Los Angeles, you're not allowed to use one of those blowers to move leaves around. You're supposed to rake. You're not supposed to use water either. But if you look at those lawn blowers, they blow so much fine particulate matter into the air that goes into our lungs that stays aloft for days, weeks on end, and ends up on top of glaciers as well. You know, there are many things that we need to do differently.
And we had a letter from last week saying you should electrify your lawn blowers and your lawn mowers and stuff. And so I think this is all good stuff.
So we all need to adopt a landscaper.
Exactly.
And be like, here, landscaper, you're my landscaper. Merry Christmas. Happy holidays.
Here's
I'm replacing all of your implements with electrical implements.
And taking away your lawn blower.
You should do
give
that,
you
Mel.
A few
it's part
rakes
of going zero to your guy.
And pay you extra.
It's interesting you should say that because it's one of the things I'm looking into. I want to get some of these electric lawnmowers and stuff and test them and see what they're like. And then have my guy at least say, when you're here, you use this thing. And I'll charge it from my solar panels. How much, by the way, does a solar panel cost? Solar PV system costs in 2016. This is from Green Tech Media. Solar prices have been plummeting. I mean, plummeting in the last couple of years.
What do you say about them? They've been what?
They've been going down.
Interesting.
By 17% every 6 months.
So in like 16 more months, they'll be free?
They'll basically be free the way this is going. There's been an oversupply, particularly, I guess, at the utility level, and they've worked out how to lower the cost of installation. So at the utility level, in the last, I think it's 6 months or a year, 34% drop at the utility level, 9% drop at the residential level, and it's expected to continue to go down in 2017. And this is, again, why I get excited, because now the cost of solar in the last, even in the last year or two, has gone down by so much that it becomes cheaper and cheaper and cheaper. And so we keep talking about it 100 times. It's going to be storage. It's going to be so much cheaper to make energy from solar, but we have to now like creating it and storing it at a local level and at a utility level.
And this, again, is where Elon became the visionary, right? Because he was the one who was talking about it in large scale, kind of before anyone else, preparing for this day. He's like, I see the price is dropping. I see more and more stuff of it going online. I think that the issue is going to be storage. We need to get out ahead of it.
Ray Kurzweil, we talked a number of weeks ago, talked about this. He believed that we'd reached the exponential inflection point of how cheap solar is going to be. And we appear, at least in the last few years, to be reaching that point. That it'll. He was saying that within 12 years, solar will be so cheap, it'll basically be cheaper than anything by far, and you'll see this exponential expansion in the amount of solar. And I think we may be seeing it right now. And we have to be careful about talking about new tech, but there is a new tech using, what is the name of it? Percocet? It's a new way of creating.
Percocet? That's like Percocet. It's a toothache.
Yeah. There's this new way of creating solar panels that doesn't use silicon, which appears to be much cheaper. They haven't been able to get the efficiency, but there's been some huge breakthroughs. So it's possible that he's right, that within a decade, solar will be basically free. The energy you get from solar will be so cheap, the only issue will be about storage.
I'm so excited.
I hope it's true. I think it's happening. I don't know how much of this is just market forces and overproduction, but it appears that we are on that inflection point that Ray Kurzweil said would happen.
Yay, good job, Ray.
Now let's talk about mining the moon, because on Testerati, they talking about an article here that there is a company, a startup company in Cape Canaveral over there in the Florida, that's been given permission from the US government to travel to the moon and look for stuff. And they said, we should really link up with somebody like SpaceX as a natural partner.
Because they have rockets, and we don't.
And we don't. And our first launch should be next year, and we should send a rover up there to check things out and see what's up there. Maybe there's some lithium and stuff up there, and we should get it.
It's
Why do they have to ask
back.
The U.S. government for permission? That's my first question. And what are the rights on the moon? It's sort of not owned by anybody. Can I just send up my rocket and start digging stuff up, or are the Russians and the Chinese going to go, hang on a minute?
Yeah, there's like an international treaty as it involves the moon.
Yeah, send up like a rover with a automated robot that just lays down chain link fence. You know,
big giant rent-a-fence sign on the side of the moon or whatever.
Andy Gump.
It's ridiculous.
Owner of the moon.
Andy Gump.
Very interesting. We'll have to follow up with some facts about that. Because this has been sort of sci-fi forever. It's like you go and mine an asteroid, you go and mine the moon. Mm-hmm. But who owns that stuff? And are you really allowed to do that?
Humanity owns it, Mel. We all do. So we all get a piece of it.
Do we? I don't know how that's going to work.
Yeah, there was a, the details there was were limited, but it's an interesting
There was a great movie called Moon. Did you see it? About the guy, he kind of wakes up and he's up there and he's doing the mining and things are kind of breaking down, and it's really great. I'll get the time.
All right.
Moon. I thought he was just up there pulling his pants down and pointing his bottom at the earth.
He's mooning on the moon?
Yeah.
It's a double moon.
It's a double moon. SpaceX is going up again. This is very exciting.
I'm so excited by this. This is the last story, and I put out this out in a tweet because we talked about going to Vandenberg and watching this happen. And so this is coming up. It's on a Friday, I think it is, at noon California time, 12:36 California time. First SpaceX launch since the most recent blowy RUD.
Boomy. When is it? What
are
date?
Are we going?
What
December 16th.
December 16th, 12:36 p.m.
So it's an afternoon launch.
I know. I'm supposed to be driving towards like the canyon that is Grand.
Will you be
with
back
my family
from the new that is Zealand at that point?
Oh, no. He's not going
yet. December.
This is like in
like
a week.
2 weeks.
Let's not do it.
Yeah.
You're not going to be here, though.
Well, maybe we need to take our trip towards the west to begin with and then move towards the east.
Uh-huh. What there day are of the week is December 16th? Does anybody know? It's a good radio
I think
right
it's
here.
A frying day.
Friday. Now, let me just tell you, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, I've done this. Mm-hmm. And let me just tell you, boys and girls, mm-hmm. when you drive back, because there's about 50% of the cars that go there are Teslas watching these things. When you come back, make sure that you take a little extra time, because there will be a long line at the Oxnard and some of these other superchargers.
We can just go to your house, charge, sit on top of the roof.
Yes, have a shardy.
Alcoholically
yeah.
while your car is recharging and just relax. Maybe just talk about what we've seen.
So I have a shout out to Tesla and the Supercharger team. I know a few people from Tesla listen to this show. Mm. They should have a valet installed there on this Friday.
Yeah, they should know that this is going to happen. Maybe on Saturday.
And they should have somebody there with a Tesla shirt on, says, you know, I know how to drive these effing mm-hmm. cars, and shuttle the cars in and out and say, how many miles do you have to get back home? Mm-hmm. Oh, you need 39 miles? Good. I'm going to put 50 miles on your car, mm-hmm. and then I'm going to move it over there. I'm going to bring Joe's car in here, and Joe mm-hmm. needs to go another 100 miles and really coordinate this thing and show us how it should be done.
And if you're listening, anybody at SpaceX, and you feel like taking the three of us as your special guests to some awesome viewing
That's
area,
right.
you know what? Feel free.
And
feel
if,
free.
If,
don't let us stop you from doing that.
If we have to sew our lips shut afterwards, which
is if we promise that Tom will only ever say good things about Tesla and SpaceX forever, will you do it to get a closer look? Yes, you will. Thank you, Tom. Wow.
Now you just
but you must feel bad about yourself, though.
Well, now looking at our show notes, we've gotten through 20% of our show notes. We have letters.
Oh my gosh.
And that's about 80% of the show notes.
Ladies and gentlemen, we have so many letters. At some
thank
point,
you very,
we're going to have
you,
to
thank you.
Change the way we do letters. But
and
we just
we
love them.
The letters yeah. a lot. And you love hearing us talk about the letters. Let's start off with Jeff Decker.
And Jeff says, thanks for the hard work on the podcast.
You're
I
welcome.
Laugh at your antics. I learn a lot. Will autopilot react to deers on the side of the road, potentially running at them? So I don't know, but later on there is a letter from an Australian. So deers are, they're an animal that likes to wait for the cars that are whipping by at 70 miles an hour mm-hmm. to so go, boy. That's really going fast. I should jump in front of it right now.
You think they wait for that?
They do
it on purpose because they want
sure.
to die?
I'm pretty sure.
Is this okay. deer depression?
And kangaroos do the same thing.
the deers of Australia.
The jumping deers of Australia do the same thing. And there is a video, and we'll talk about it a little bit mm-hmm. later, of an Australian Tesla driver, and he's whipping through.
Yeah.
And then you see this little wallaby, smaller type of kangaroo, just do the same thing, whip by. So the... One of the things that can happen with these autonomous vehicles mm-hmm. and their great sensors and is that it's going to learn. So you're driving along, it's going to learn. And I want to know if it goes, that looks like a deer. And experience has told me that deers are like deers in the headlights. And so if you see a deer, you should slow down because it's probably going to jump in front of me because it's depressed.
Wait a minute. Deer are like deer in the headlights? I mean, deer are actually deer in the headlights.
Well, no. Deer are deer, but sometimes they're in the headlights.
Oh, dear.
It's not a form of deer.
Oh, dear. Are you sure? It's not like mule deer in the headlights.
It could be. Big deer, small deer in the headlights.
So what I really want to know, and I wrote down here, are the deer the puppies of the forest in this particular instance?
No.
It'll be hard and really hard to program this because it just doesn't happen a lot. So how are the cars going to learn about this particular thing? Are they going to simulate it in factories where there's going to be like a guy in a deer costume just like waiting to jump out in front of a Tesla?
Or what are your chances of getting Lyme disease after the deer jumps through your windshield.
Yeah. So the deer jumps through your windshield. You leave it in there. The ticks crawl off the deer onto you and bite you. You
yes,
get Lyme disease.
Exactly.
Probably the last thing you're thinking about is you smash through a 1,000-pound right. deer.
Hey, is there
1,000-pound
deer in my front seat?
Well,
I sure hope I don't get Lyme disease from them.
Well, I'm bleeding to death here and I'm going to get Lyme disease.
It's a name. Good one. Come on. Do it, buddy.
David.
Let's go with this. David Schrantz.
Schrantz.
Sent a YouTube video of a very fun and Key and Peele sketch, which I cannot play, but it is very funny. But it's about a teacher trying to pronounce
so
kids' names.
Aaron.
It's so ridiculously humorous.
One of
about
the nurses
where
at work.
You put the emphasis on your syllables.
Exactly. There's one of the nurses at work, and the first time I saw him, I was like, Aaron? And he just busted up so much. It was so funny.
William Stewart says he wants an uncensored version. He's from New Zealand. He goes, look, I want swear words.
Dirty Kiwi.
And it's too hard for us right now to put up two different versions. But hey, if there's an overwhelming number of people that would like two versions of this
put it on
stupid
Patreon.
Show, we could have the swear word version and the non-swear
yeah,
word version.
Yeah, that'd be awesome. And we could even swear more then. We'd feel like we'd be wide open to swearing. He says he can't afford a Tesla, so he's been buying Tesla stock. And what I will say about that is I sure hope you're not in the same boat as me and watching your Tesla investment circling the drain, dollar cost averaging yourself into the poorhouse, because since the Model 3 is launched,
yes,
Tesla stock has lost about $60. Oopsie.
Yeah. What's it at now?
187
today.
$6. Up
the
$6.
The day of Model 3 launch, $245, buddy. Yeah.
That's upsetting. I'm glad I don't own any stock.
But they've since bought SolarCity and taken on a lot of their debt.
I think in the end, you're going to do quite well from that stock. I don't know.
And I bought more when it went down because I was dollar cost averaging.
Yeah.
Yeah, to zero. You know, it's funny because I played golf with a guy a couple of weeks ago who was talking about dollar cost averaging. He's an investment guy. Mm-hmm. And during the last significant downturn in the market, you know, the really big one, mm-hmm. he goes, yeah, I dollar cost average myself basically out of my retirement. It was upsetting. He said, I thought all these things would come back and some of them just disappeared.
Yeah. Well, you had to have a longer term thing, and you had to have a lot of cash on hand to make that work for you.
We got a letter here from Paul Burton who said Australia is a potential testbed for automated vehicles. We actually talked about that, Paul. Yeah, Australia is getting Bosch and Teslas, and they're driving them around autonomously. So good on you, Australia. Mikael Hellqvist, is that right?
Hellqvist.
He says you guys in America, they're changing your roofs on your houses every 5 minutes. I live in Sweden, and I've got a roof that's been there for 90 years, and it's still good. What do you make your roofs out of? Paper mache?
Well, he laughed at us because we had asphalt. I looked it up because I wanted to know what kind of roofs they had. 6 out of 10 Swedish roofs are those clay tiles. So Sweden is ripe for the solar roof. However, if their roofs last 90 years, that is a long process to switch those bad boys out.
There's still turnover.
Yeah, no.
There's still turnover. We use paper mache soaked in oil. Duh.
That's exactly what we do. And then he was saying some joke about 15% solar panel on a little island called Austria. I let the smart one explain that joke. And if you don't know who the smart one is, then just ask the smart one. Great to hear.
I think what he's saying is 15% solar power on Australia, we wouldn't know any better because we're not really sure where any countries are.
Yes,
that's and true. I think in this case, none of us might be the smart one.
He also said that that Swedish fish don't come from Sweden. Is it right?
That's impossible. Wikipedia doesn't lie.
It's 100% correct. They're not actually made in Sweden. They were originally made by a Swedish company for the American market, but they're currently made either in Canada or Turkey.
Turkey.
No, they make turkey in Turkey. No. That's why they named it Turkey.
Probably can't Matt even get Clausen. A turkey sandwich in Turkey.
Is it Matt Clausen? He says, talk politics.
Clausen, I believe is
Clausen.
Like the pickle.
We keep getting these letters, some saying, don't talk about politics, and some people saying, talk about politics. Mm-hmm. I'm very confused. We're going to continue to talk about politics where it pertains to Teslas and renewable energy. We just have to.
Environmental politics is fair game, and we will never stop. I vow to never stop!
He notes that oil is cheaper than ever, and today the Auto Club noted that in the United States, the average cost of a gallon of gasoline is $2.18, which just breaks my heart. I understand people don't want to spend a lot of money on gasoline, but the cheaper it stays, the more people will buy ICE cars.
For sure. And then I'd like to apologize to the next letter writer, J.J. McCall, because I just yelled into the microphone and he asked us to stop swearing and yelling because he listens to the show in earbuds. Sorry.
And he said, use a better compressor. And
wow, that's harsh, man.
Yeah.
Use a better compressor.
If we don't yell and swear, what is the point of this show?
Yeah, I don't really understand what he's talking about.
Well, I've got my headphones on. They're jammed into my ears, and I can't hear anything.
And the next letter comes from Johan Yigsved.
And he was the guy that said Swedish fish don't come from Sweden. And we've just dispelled that myth through no facts
at all.
That's right.
Okay, so here's where the information was. The Swedish fish candy is marketed under name Pastel Fiskar in Sweden, literally pastel fish, and under the Malaco brand, among others. They do sell them in Sweden in like a mix that you can get, and they have fruit-flavored ones and licorice ones. It's been sold for many years and is a favorite among the Swedes. So they sell Swedish fish in Sweden. They just don't make them in Sweden. They come in different flavors and colors. They have green ones and yellow ones. I've never seen those. I would like some.
I would bet all the dynamite in the world is not made in Sweden either. but it was made in Sweden.
Rolando Sanchez says, where are your pictures of the Model X with the folding seats? And we need to make sure that we post this
stuff.
And
there's like this
Now if you go order. To Testarada, you can see them.
They're in order. Yeah, no, I got really good pictures.
Brian Griffo? Is that it? Griffo?
Yeah, Griffo, mate.
He's got a pretty long letter here, mate.
But he does talk about the next SpaceX launch is launching a satellite for oil and gas exploration. And that brings up an interesting point.
Mm. Yeah.
Do you think that SpaceX should refuse to launch oil and gas exploration satellites? Hmm. I think it's an interesting question for them, because my guess is that would maybe turn off a lot of their manifests. For some people, it'd be like, well, I want to do this kind of satellite and this kind of satellite. I'd really like to do them all at SpaceX, but I think maybe they should, but they're not going to.
Well, I wonder, because some satellites do end up getting repurposed.
Yeah.
So a satellite, and I should have an example off the top of my head, but I don't, that was intended for, you know, I don't know, something that may not feel ecologically sound, then gets repurposed to something else. But at the same time, there are a lot of satellites up there that are only good for a few years, and they end up as literally space junk. So,
and that's actually a huge problem. There are so many satellites and bits of satellites up there. They're now trying to work out, well, how do we get some of this crap down? What do we do? Big vacuum cleaner in space? It's actually a huge issue.
We did story on that, and where a group was building a satellite to go and repair satellites. Basically, just plug in more battery power, and it could do that autonomously. So go to a satellite, fix it, come back, you know, exchange more battery parts or other parts, go back to another satellite, fix it. So...
And he also wants more green investing tips, but since I know nothing about investing, let alone green investing, I can't help you. But
so
Tom
In the show notes of this particular show, I put that Bloomberg thing about all the global energy investments, so you can sort of get an idea of what countries are doing what. It might help you, give you a lot about sort of the tipping points that are happening and where countries are going, and maybe where a good place to move your dollars might potentially be.
And we should have a discussion with an expert at some point about divesting from the fossil fuel industry and whether that's actually useful. You know, the Rockefellers did that. All their money came from fossil fuels. And their foundation has divested from all fossil fuels. They said, we can't rationalize doing this. It's bad. That's interesting. That's
difficult. I think that Talking Tesla probably represents a fair amount of investment force and listeners.
You mean like the three of us?
No. I mean, like,
I got like $5 in a 401k.
Talking Tesla Nation. And so if we all, as Talking Tesla Nation, said, yeah, we're going to stop investing in drill bits for oil wells and transportation services for extraction, then maybe we'd have a little bit of an effect.
John Ford is our favorite letter writer about the fact that he doesn't believe that human-created climate change is a big deal. And he continues to listen, and we love John for that. One of the things he said there, and I don't have time to talk about all the stuff he talks about in there, but one thing he said is, here's a couple of websites you should go and read for an alternative point of view. And I guess my point was, when I said we should be listening to all points of view, is not that you should read my ridiculously one-sided,
skewed
point of view blogs
biased.
And podcasts, and I shouldn't listen to yours. We should have news sources which are actually a bit better than they are right now, where there is actual experts on both sides having discussions. You can come out of those discussions with some better feel for the different opinions about various subjects. And the only people I know that do this really well are people like NPR, when they have experts from across the spectrum, and BBC. I'm not interested in going to MSNBC. I'm not interested in going to Fox or Breitbart or any of the other crap. I want something in the middle that's actually going to do a good job of it.
Less opinion, more fact. So the Intergovernmental Panel on Climate Change, which is a United Nations organization that pools hundreds of environmental scientists. These are people who I think know more about their shit than I know. That's who I look to. And they put out these amazing reports that detail what's going on as far as energy production, pollution, and make suggestions as to where our highest yield changes should come from first. And I recommend that you go to their website, ipcc.ch.
And he makes a point in here where if I'm wrong, nothing bad happens, which he says is erroneous. And he says poverty kills millions of people every day, and the Paris Accord alone will make electricity more expensive, not less. I believe that we're showing the more of this renewable electricity that you bring online, it's actually cheaper
right.
in a lot of ways than fossil fuels. So
Now, poverty kills people because they don't have access to good health care for the respiratory illnesses they get for living in the cities with the bad air. I can just give examples down the line.
So, Patrick C., Going Zero idea. I have an idea for Going Zero, and that is, what is he saying? Oh, he has this really, I think he wrote it, wrote this really great review article about the cost to run your car using solar panels and stuff. Mm-hmm. And he basically comes out in summary and says, over time, amortized the current price of solar panels. It's really cheap to run your car using solar panels over time. Really cheap.
And he claims he's been driving a solar-powered EV since 2007. That's pretty sweet. And he ended his letter with, sunlight will never cost $4 a gallon.
My panels, I've had them for my first set of panels for 10 years. They are basically being paid off and free. So, yeah, the cost for me to drive on my panels, my solar panels right now, it's free. And sort of this goes against, you know, what some people have said about the cost of this stuff. Once you get this up and running and those panels last for 40 years, they are so inexpensive, it's unbelievable. Why would you use any other form of fuel? It's all about storage, baby. Joel Sapp says, Tom's going to read it because he's a better reader.
Please check out this article on using your battery from Tesla to push power back to the grid or maybe as storage for your house. So we'll post that article. While JB has previously stated he thought it would be too many discharging cycles on your car battery, I think they could do a couple of things here. They could use an app where you could opt to not charge your car. And this is called megawatts in the demand response industry. So he put a Bloomberg article in here. When the local utility needs extra power, you could sell some of your power back to the grid at higher rates than you paid, a 60 kilowatt pack or more, and giving half of that reserve would be pretty good money. So you could sell back at the peak hours of efficiency, say half of your car's range that you've stored at cheaper, and you can maybe make a little bit of cash on it. And the car would be a good power backup in case there were power outages and chances of an earthquake, something like that, just an extra source of energy.
Totally.
So a very good letter. Thank you very much.
When are we going to see this? Because I would love that even if it wasn't at a utility level, I'd love to be able to do this with my own electric cars. But it's probably way more technically difficult than just putting a little converter thing on the wall and shoving my car in and being able to run my fridge when the power goes out.
It is, but it's probably a piece of technology that you could put you'd plug your car into like a little
converter
thing, inverter kind of thing at the curbside when you pull into your driveway. So you'd have two things. You'd have, I could plug it in to charge, or I could plug it in to charge to fuel my house. And it would just be the sort of hardware would be outside the car, and you'd be able to manage it, and Tesla could write software to make sure that it doesn't destroy the battery, and it would be interesting. Although, again, we'd get into people going, I'm going to go to the supercharger and run my house over the weekend.
Damn you. Chad Oliveri has a really good link to Inside EVs, which shows a table of the prediction for what's going to happen with the federal tax credits and when they're going to run out by various manufacturers. So let me just summarize, but you should go check it out. By Q3, third or fourth quarter, they think that the Tesla and the GM credits will run out, the full incentives. And then a year or two after that, most all of the incentives for those big manufacturers. So it's a really great table if you want to see, will I actually get some credits for my Model 3, for example, here in the US? You can sort of work out that if they sell them as fast as we think, it's only going to be a year or so and they're all going to be gone.
Which makes me worried because on the top of this list is General Motors. And they're going to run out of EV credits first. And if they are so dependent on selling cars in California with the zero emission credits, they're going to be in trouble.
But their car, the Bolt, is 37, pretty like and pretty well loaded for what they offer for around 42.
Right.
And we think more than likely the Model 3 fully loaded is going to be obviously have a lot more, but it's going to be a lot more than that. So their car is already coming in considerably cheaper, although – as we said earlier today, they are losing money per vehicle, and that's probably the difference in the cost, right?
So I have two challenges for you, Tom.
Challenge me away.
Challenge one.
Please.
Go get a Bolt.
A Bolt?
Bolt.
Okay.
B-O-L-T.
Oh, it's a B.
Bolt.
Mm-hmm.
Challenge number two.
Okay.
Watch for anything that indicates that Chevy has got another battery supplier or someone who can help them build more than 30,000 Bolts with a B a year.
I don't think
they
looking.
Need that.
Well,
they need that.
LG claims they can ramp up.
yeah.
their claims. Is this vapor, as you like to refer to it?
Yeah.
GM claims it's not a compliance vehicle. And the only way for them to reduce that $9,000 loss per vehicle is to make more. It's about volume, right? Because a lot of that money is in the R&D. And if you have to spend $900 million to get a car on the road and you only sell 30,000 of them, you got to amortize a lot of that R&D over a small amount of vehicles.
And so if they have to 5X their ZEVs in California to maintain selling gasoline cars, mm-hmm. they're in trouble. I think they need to really get their SHIT together.
Patrick from Vienna, VA, says, Robert, you did some stuff about how much money goes to political campaigns. And he says, in no particular order, there's a whole bunch of things here that he lists where fossil fuel money goes that affects our political system. And you've totally underestimated by a lot. And most importantly, mm-hmm. he says, Mel, you are the smartest. Aussie, Aussie, Aussie.
Oi, oi, oi. Which I heard every 8 minutes when I went to the Olympics in Salt Lake, and that was the freaking Winter Olympics.
Oh, my.
That's amazing for Australians. So
David Solward says, Jim Cramer said that you should sell your Tesla stock, that it's all crap, that it's basically it's a cult stock. Why anybody would listen to Cramer about anything, I have no idea. So if you're not in the United States, there's a guy called Jim Cramer. He's on CNBC, mm-hmm. and he does this thing called Mad Money, and he does a big shtick about, you know, what stocks you should buy and why they're good and why they're bad, and he bangs bells and he does all this stuff. This is the guy who, the day before Bear Stearns collapsed and closed and was ended, said, Bear Stearns is fine. What are you all worried about? This guy's an idiot. Don't listen to him.
It was impressive to watch the article feed as Tesla stock started turning down over the last 2 or 3 weeks. How many more? It was almost like a feeding frenzy of sharks. How many more articles kept coming out? Tesla's going to dump. Tesla's price point is so low. Sell, sell, sell. It was amazing. It's like, whatever. Why does that even impress me?
Daniel Berman wanted to talk about the Model 3, and he said, what do you think? What do you guys think is the sort of the range we're going to see on this car? We've talked about it. We have no idea. We're pulling it out of our buttocks. I suspect that it'll be around 220 down the bottom end and just over 300 at the high end, because that seems to be what Elon thinks is the right thing to do.
The rumors are a 60 and a 75.
And a 75 with a lighter car and stuff, yeah. We think we'll get over 300 miles. He also says he lives in Manhattan. And what's he going to do? Because if you live in an apartment there, how are you going to charge it? Robert's talked about this multiple times. There should be little just sort of low-voltage chargers everywhere. But I think by the time the Model 3 comes out, this is not going to be a problem, because at 3 a.m. it's going to be autonomously driving, and it's just going to go charge itself up wherever you tell it to go charge itself up with the supercharger with the snaky bit. And then it'll just bring it back to your apartment complex.
I want to see more about the snaky bit, or snaky bit on J1772 plugs or on the CCS plugs.
Yeah. Now, Seth Ballstrat... What's his name?
Ballstat.
Seth Ballstat?
He said Ballstead. It right here.
Ballstead. Oh, there it is. Ballstead.
Just read, Mel. Just read.
Said we should change the intro music and have Robert doing his horse whinnying sound because he was so impressed.
I disagree.
Yeah, me too.
Oh, it almost sounds that way, doesn't it? My wife looked at me and she said, oh, my God.
Kip Snapbauer. Is that right?
Spanbauer. No snap. Oh my Spanbauer. God. What the hell is wrong with
does
you?
Does anybody get
You're
sick of me?
You're a destroying doctor. Okay, listen, Talking Tesla
Nation.
You
don't have to read to be a doctor, Brad.
I'd like to tell you that it seems maybe at this point that it's shtick, but this is dead happening. This is not a piece of material that we have written so he can mispronounce all of your names.
Oh my God.
But we here in the studio enjoy the hell out of this.
I do actually have a reading disorder, and it was interesting because I had a Spanish tutor, and it turns out I've been reading and doing this stuff, and then she goes, do you have a reading disorder? I'm like, actually, I do, apparently, in two languages.
In two languages, you have a reading disorder.
Oh, dear. Anyway, he says, look, you guys are talking about not getting your Model 3s and keeping mm-hmm. your Model S's. And he says, you guys are crazy. Get your Model 3, and as soon as you get it and they deliver it, go sell it, because you'll be able to make a profit, because so many people are going to want this thing.
I don't think that's a good
genius
idea.
Genius idea.
I don't think it's
genius.
A good idea.
I'm not going to do it, but it's a great idea.
I have a couple nurses who really want it.
If they start producing these at the volumes that they're going to, I don't think that's some weird speculation, in my opinion.
Well, there's a lot of people who really want this car.
Right away?
Right away.
and are going to be willing to pay not only for the highest price version, because that's what's going to take to get it early, but then a premium on top of that. So now you're a person on the street. You really want a Model 3. You, Robert, just paid $66,000. To make it worth your while, you probably want to sell it for $76,000. Why wouldn't I just go buy an S? Well, because silence is
because how it turned into a $70,000 car. I can't do the math on that.
I don't know.
Wow.
Well, but maybe your streets
fully
are too
loaded,
big.
We think it could be around $66,000 with the higher battery, with the autonomous driving.
I hope
driving.
It's not that high. I don't think it's going to be that high. I think maybe $50,000.
We did this show where we talked about
the
all of the options.
Let's look at the bolts.
42 is what they are rumoring the top level is on.
You can actually configure a bolt right now, and I just did, and I put all the good stuff in it, and it was $42,000.
Yeah, I think that's the top end.
So I'm hoping that the top end Model 3 is not 67. I hope it's 50.
Well, but it depends on what you get. You get the air ride suspension. You get the upgraded audio system. Again, you get the tech package. You get all of the other bells and whistles. And the two autonomous driving things right now on the S are what? $9,000, $10,000 alone just for those
grand,
two things, right? Get leather seats, $1,500.
No, get a don't get leather seats because it contributes to global warming. You should see the new seats. They've got now these white seats. I saw it.
Oh, white seats. Yeah, I'm putting my dirty family in white seats.
Give me a break, Tom. Shut your trap for a moment.
They're made out of babies.
They're made out of nothing alive. They're beautiful.
They're vegan.
If you would have come to the Toys for Tots, you would have seen Ian's brand new X. Wonderful white seats. You can clean them with Windex. He said, you know, he took a bunch of people on a ride, and it was at a party and stuff. And some dude, I think in the middle back seat, he looked back in his rearview mirror and he saw this guy, and his face was green. And he thought,
God.
Oh no. And then the guy's face kind of like started kind of convulsing a little bit. And he says, how about we pull over a little bit and let whatever the guy's name in the middle seat out? And the guy's like, no, I'm okay. And vomited all over his brand new X with these white seats. And it turns out they clean up just fine with Windex. Not made out of cows. So when they make this in all of the other colors, I think this is going to be fantastic.
Did you see the perforated one?
Yeah.
That vomit's just going. I've got to move on because the thought of somebody puking in a new Model X is too disturbing. This is Bruce McMillan. He's from Australia. And this is the guy who video of the wallaby just whipping in front of his car, and he caught it on video. This is in Outback Victoria, where I actually grew up, mate. And it's a really great video, and again, we'll put the link to the show notes. You should send this to Teslarati. Bruce, you've got to send this in because it's so freaking interesting to see this kangaroo whipping by a car and almost crashing.
It's only 7 seconds long, and what's interesting is he doesn't even slow down.
And he's playing Talking Tesla while this happens.
Oh
so it's
God.
Very meta. It's very, very, very cool. So thanks for that, Bruce. And it's also funny that you're an Australian named Bruce because everybody in Australia is named Bruce.
But
we know that from Monty
crazy.
Python.
It's crazy. He's driving on the wrong side of the road.
Is that the deal? Because the sharks in Finding Dory were Australian, and also one of them was named Bruce.
Yes, it was made famous by the Monty Python sketch at the University of Woolloomooloo, where all of the professors are named Bruce. And then there's this American professor comes and is like, is your name not Bruce? And no, it's not. Well, we're going to have to call you Bruce because that's going to cause some confusion. It's very funny. You should watch it.
Here comes the boss fella now.
Hello, Bruce. How are you, Bruce? Gentlemen, I'd like to introduce a chap from Pommyland. He'll be joining us this year. Here in the philosophy department at the University of Woolloomooloo. Michael Baldwin, this is Bruce. Michael Baldwin, this is Bruce. Michael Baldwin, this is Bruce.
Is your name not Bruce then?
No, it's Michael.
That's going to cause a little confusion. Yeah. What if we call you Bruce?
Rolando talks about gathering data from an autonomous driving system, and he wanted to know how this might work. And my understanding is, as you suggested, Rolando, which is the software will be on all the time. It'll be gathering data all the time. It'll be looking at how you drove and what you did under certain circumstances, and it'll be looking at everybody in the same way, and it'll be asking the question, I was going to do X. What did the human do? What did all of the humans do? And by doing that over time, it'll get smarter and smarter and smarter. And Elon has suggested it is that every time they get to the point where you're about twice, the autonomous vehicle is twice as smart as the humans, then they'll release that next bit of functionality. That is, as I understand it, but I don't know much. Except Sam Holford says Mel is the smartest, and that's pretty much all you need to know. Sam is an OBG doc in New Zealand, who says that EVs in New Zealand are, you know, they really have a cult following right now. And you can even rent EVs from this place called Blue Car Rentals. And he said, if I ever come to Auckland and if I ever go to New Zealand, I should give him a call because he'll pick me up in his Leaf.
You know what I have to say to him right now? Ring, ring.
Guess what? I'm coming. I land on January 3rd. I expect you to pick me up. All right?
It would be so awesome. If at the Auckland airport, there were like seven New Zealand talking Tesla fans out there with signs that were like, Herbert, Herbert, Herbert. Like you walked into the airport and they were all there to pick you up. And
next thing you know, it'll be like the Beatles.
I know.
We'll be running through the streets.
You're going to be Ringo, though.
Now, I said something foolish last week. Actually, I said 20 foolish things last week. But Joel Sepp says this, Mel, if you don't want your Model 3 and you said you're going to buy some Model 3s for people, could I have one? I'm a Patreon subscriber. Do I get a Model 3 with that?
I think that's a valid question.
And I said no. But if for some reason I become a billionaire overnight, I promise all the Patreon subscribers I'll buy you all a Model 3 each. How's that?
Holy macaroni.
So if I become a billionaire, I'm buying every Patreon subscriber a Model 3. You can take
every
that to the bank.
Patreon subscriber as of what date?
As of today.
Okay.
So like by midnight if they get on.
By midnight,
if
yes.
If they get on.
If I become a billionaire, which could happen at any moment in time. I'm not sure how that could happen, but it could happen.
That's amazing. Oh, I have a point. So Joel put in here talking about superchargers and free long distance driving. What if I, driving my Model S, right? It's Model S that I've owned since 2013, and it's got lifetime supercharger, and I'm on the freeway, and someone bashes into me, and my car is totaled, and now I have to go get another car. What happens to my supercharging for life?
Does it die with the car?
Yeah. So this came up at the talk at the Tesla Club brunch, which you both missed. There's
He's
a lot of
bit upset about that, by the way.
He's not that upset.
I'm in charge of membership. I can't even get YouTube bozos to come.
Dude, I do not like to leave the house except to go in my Tesla by myself.
Well, so you could have done that. Anyway, so this is the stimulating conversation that goes on over, you know, champagne and wine and good food and
was it all vegan, organic, locally sourced foods?
I had a fantastic salmon on quinoa with vegetables, sautéed vegetables.
That does sound lovely.
It was lovely. And so, you know, what would happen to the supercharging that I have with my 2013? Like, is it my fault that somebody wiped me out?
No, but you might be able to talk to Tesla about that in that particular instance.
You'd be talking Tesla at that point.
That's funny. And Joel made an interesting point in here, and I wonder what you guys think about this. I don't know if you noticed this, right? So I don't want to support compliance. He's looking for an electric car for his wife, and he says he doesn't want to support compliance. And he says a Bolt purchase is also a pickup truck purchase. And in a lot of ways, he's correct.
Yeah.
What do you guys think about that? Like a Tesla purchase is not, although a Tesla purchase is the same thing because Tesla's selling their credits on the open market. So, never mind.
Yeah, you're right. You're right. Good. Because I was about to go get Grandpa a Bolt and I might as well just get him a giant SUV apparently.
Yeah, maybe.
It's a good question. Well, so here, as far as the club goes, I did grab both of you guys a window decal.
Oh, look at that. It says Tesla Owners Los Angeles.
Please go on the Tesla Club LA website and sign up.
I'm a member.
You are a member.
What do you mean?
Give me a high five.
I've been a member for months. We talked about it on the show.
You're right, we did.
I'm not a member.
Hmm.
I'll fix that. Don't you worry. Mm-hmm.
Right. I'm a member. I just don't go to the events because I don't know.
You were curling.
I wanted to go. I did have to curl yesterday. So that's another thing I wanted to discuss. So last week, the epiphany that I was a doll photographer, not really an epiphany. I'm also a curler.
An electric curler.
No. Not an electric.
Solar powered curler?
No. I don't.
Vegan curler.
Isn't that the name of those fries they sell up at Olive View?
And there may not be another sport you can do in Los Angeles, Southern California, that's less environmentally sustainable than curling.
Is your curling venue solar powered?
It is not. It is at Ice Station Valencia.
Well,
and I don't believe that Valencia is a big solar community, although Valencia could be because they have a lot of open space.
And they have all of the sun in the world.
They have a lot of the sun. So who knows? Someday, maybe. How far have we gone? We didn't even get close.
We didn't get close to breaking the world record.
First off, we'd like to apologize to you who wish we would be doing getting to 2 hours. We barely even broke 140 on this one. It's probably not even going to be 140 after editing.
You're not getting your
So, you know, whatever. It's only an hour and a half. It was a good hour and a half. Very energetic. Very informative. You gentlemen, again, are amazing. I'm very thankful for the two of you in this season of holiday.
What do you want?
I don't want anything.
You acting like you want something. Just come out and say it.
I don't want anything. I appreciate the gifts that Robert brings. I think me and you really need to step up our gift giving.
Robert's a great gift giver. I've given you guys nothing but headaches. Yeah. And that's not a great gift.
I have another gift.
Oh my goodness.
There you go, guys.
Oh, the Tesla cookies. These are so good.
I gotta tell you, where do you get these from?
From Tesla.
These are when you go and like drop your car off. Are you dropping your car off?
No, these are special Tesla cookies made for the club.
These are little cookies that have a Tesla emblem on them. And let's just open them up here.
Opening the things.
And I got to tell you,
how's that crunch?
They're sugar cookies, and they have like an edible Tesla logo. We hope it's edible because we're eating it.
Mm. It's so good.
Yeah, why don't you hold one up there? Who wants to be in this?
Maybe
picture?
I shouldn't be eating this paper. I don't know.
They're environmentally conscious cookies.
They're lovely.
Something tells me that they're not, but that's cool. Delicious. There's a Tesla logo right there.
Excellent. I have something for you, Mel. This is
oh my God!
This is for your hobby.
Oh,
right. You're a golfer.
It's a little towel. It says Sol Optimum.
Golfy towel.
Wow, thanks, Robert.
You're welcome.
Mm. You're the best, Robert.
Awesome.
Oh. We got to step up our gift-giving game.
It's the season.
Can I get a company card so I can buy you guys some gifts?
Yeah, not my company. Yes, you can.
And you know what people were complaining about recently?
That we weren't at the
events. The Tesla store. Like, if you wanted to run right now over to the Tesla store and buy a t-shirt.
There's nothing there.
Or a towel. Exactly. You were saying this, and now I know why.
Because there's nothing there.
They have taken all of the swag out of the Tesla stores. Very upsetting. Yeah. Wouldn't you say very upsetting?
Yeah, oh my goodness. Very upsetting.
Very upsetting. Why?
I don't know.
Why do you think?
I don't know.
Think.
So they can sell it online?
Well, they do already.
I don't know why.
But they charge you up.
It's all a lot.
For shipping. That's
what?
Horrible.
They charge you how much?
A ship ton. Why? Tell us why, for God's sake.
Solar City.
Oh, they're
bringing all of the Powerwall and all of the solar stuff into the stores.
Oh, I'm against
and
that.
And they're going to use that space, and I can't buy, you know, another briefcase, and you can't buy your overnight
bag. The
Moab
bag, they stopped selling. Even on the website, you can't buy that bag anymore. That thanks a lot, Tesla. If you're over there and you work for Tesla, you're listening to the show, or you're a listener of the show, you bought the Moab overnighter bag, you don't like it anymore, send us a letter. I'll pick it up off you.
I can't believe that they want to sell solar products instead of t-shirts. That's ridiculous.
Yeah.
What kind of a company is this? Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, it was Talking Texas 63. We'll talk to you next week. Bye for now.
Bye-bye.
Thank you for calling. To ensure the highest level of customer care, this call may be recorded.
Blah, blah, blah. Yes, it may be recorded, in fact, by us. Do we have to tell them? Hi. We want to buy a car, and we're recording you.
This is good radio.
Wouldn't it be
great? For calling Key Chevy. How can I direct your call?
May we speak to someone in sales, please? EV sales, if possible.
One moment, please.
Oh. Do we have to have permission to play this cracking music?
Sales department.
That is indeed the sales department of a local Chevy dealer. We talked to a lovely young lady there who said that if we go down right now, put $500 down, we can be on the waiting list. They're expecting 80 Chevy Bolts by mid-month, so in the next week or two. And the only way you're really going to be able to get one of those 80 Chevys that's coming in, or even drive, test drive one of those, is to come and put $500 down. So I might go and do that so that I can go and at least drive it. And then if I don't like it, they say, no questions asked, they'll give you the money back. It's a weird system, but that's what we found out. Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, calling Chevy dealers for Talking Tesla. Talk to you next week.
Talking Tesla is a production of Hooligoo Incorporated. Produced by Mel Herbert and CC Herbert. Hosted by Mel Herbert, Tom Wolfson, and Robert Rosenblum. To support Talking Tesla, go to patreon.com/TalkingTesla. And finally, if you love the show, write us a review on iTunes.